Your community radio station and your library proudly present Tales from the Pandemic, a series of five short stories, each narrated by its author, reflecting our community's lived experience during these strange times.
Isolation by Laura Jane. January 2020, Australia. Sunlight fell in sharp, thin sheets through the slats of the little roof. It fell onto the chipping wood of the picnic table, onto the plates and playing cards laid out together. Warm bodies sat curved at the benches, listening to the radio. 18-year-old bodies, sweating, 2 months out of high school and basking gloriously in their freedom and the summer sense of the campsite around them. Their tents, pitched a few kilometres away, were hidden from the reaches of Wi-Fi, but it could find them at this picnic bench. Here, they played their music, and Ambrose read them the last few days' worth of news off his smudged phone screen. He listed the details of one article, a report of something that made his voice lower in concern. Emma dismissed his attempts to raise alarm. "It won't reach us." "Two or three cases," the report said. And Ambrose had never read from a reliable news source in his life. "How's it supposed to get over here? 5 cases in one country. So few people have it, and they'll hardly be travelling. It's not even a worry." Ambrose was still scrolling. "They reckon it's catchy." "And?" "More people might have caught it already. They reckon someone in Italy might have it, by the looks of him. It'll travel, just you watch." The air in Emma's lungs, scented with eucalyptus, turned sour for a fraction of a second. Her mind travelled from a sick man halfway across the world, to her mum, an hour's drive from where Emma now sat, to her cousin, much further away, to her own tightened lungs. "They're pretty strict about quarantines and stuff over there, though," James said. The eucalyptus scent was back, and Emma got up from the bench to lay down on the grass beside the table, the sun full on her face as she abandoned the sheltering roof, pointing at James as she did so. "See, that's what I'm saying. There's no way it'll make it over here. It's a non-issue." The warm light on her closed eyelids mingled with the voices of her friends, and the conversation moved on with the sun until evening began to cool the playing cards in their hands. The summer sun lingered long that year, and was still turning cars into saunas at the close of March. Emma sat in the passenger seat of one such silver sunbox, her friend at the wheel. The light flickered through the trees as the young women drove through pockets of shade, comparing notes in raised voices about the shops near their homes. "Dad went to 4 different stores, Talia was saying. "He's got nothing. All the shelves were empty. Everyone's gone mental." They spent the day together, driving from place to place. Emma's arm grew sunburned where it rested next to the window. By the time Talia's car pulled up outside Emma's home, dusk was setting in. The friends were still talking as Emma undid her seatbelt. "Right," said Emma. "We timed it well, at least, going out today. Imagine if we'd planned it for next week. We'd have had to cancel. I'd have been gutted." Emma opened the car door and swung her legs out. "I'll see you soon, though." Talia made a face. "Not that soon, with all this." "Ah, it's only 3 weeks. And we can do video calls and stuff. It'll go quick." Talia drove off as Emma walked up her driveway and into the growing dark. The first lockdown went into effect a few hours later, as Thursday ticked over to Friday.
You're listening to Tales from the Pandemic, proudly brought to you by your library and your community radio station.
April 2020, England. 10 degrees Celsius. Liam had been in England for 1.5 years, and his semi-permanent Australian tan had faded along with his accent and the novelty of snow. 6 months now until he was due to go back home. He'd left the Yarra Valley the month before his 21st birthday and this year he expected to be back with family when he turned 23 this September. Not that he wasn't with family here in Leeds. His girlfriend, Saoirse, sat at her laptop typing, whether for work or her visa application he didn't know. Both were difficult for her at the moment. The events industry had ground to a halt the moment the virus entered England, and Australia wouldn't have her come home with him, not for good, until she jumped through their bureaucratic hoops and into some form of citizenship. One of Liam's workmates, a fellow Australian abroad, had quit earlier that month. He'd be back in Brisbane by now, Liam knew, carried over by one of the last flights allowed to land before the Australian borders closed and the country entered the lockdown England had already begun. The call had gone out to Australian expatriates when the international state of emergency had been declared. The call to escape the lockdowns of other countries and return to Australia before they were shut out. And Liam had gone grocery shopping along with every English citizen, stocked up, and hunkered down for the promised 3-week lockdown. No way he was leaving England, not before Saoirse could come with him. His birthday was a long way off yet. Flights would be back in the air come September, the quarantines would lift, and the visa agent had even hinted that their cohabitation through lockdown would look good for confirming his and Saoirse's relationship status on her visa application. Saoirse was still typing. Liam hated English weather, but Saoirse made it easier to bear. She was his family, after all. The cold was seeping in through the window behind him. He turned, and the darkness outside stared back at him before he drew the thick curtain closed. He checked his phone. 7 p.m, and the sun had already been set for a good half hour. He checked the news, and the English Prime Minister's tousled head appeared below a headline that speculated whether or not lockdown would be forced to extend for another 3 weeks. Liam closed his eyes and chucked his phone across the couch. September seemed a lot closer than it had.
Local stories by local authors on local radio.
July 2020, Australia. The memory of the message still ached inside her. The tirade she'd received, from family no less, for posting something about masks, something about looking after the community. Something she'd hoped was warm and might bring some cheer to those who saw it. Instead, an angry message telling her to wake up. It was so hard to wake up this winter. Not in the way that the message had meant, to conspiracy and violence. It was just, in bed, she was warm. Warmth was everything. Blankets wrapped tightly around her, 2 pairs of socks and her old high school hoodie. Emma crawled further into her blanket now. So, so warm. As if comfort might melt away the ache. The message ache, and the older one, the ache she'd grown used to over the months, the one that hurt more quietly, the one that hurt the most. Some days, the warmth felt like enough. Some days, it could only hold her as her eyes glazed and hours slipped by, alone. In bed, after a day spent waiting, that ultimate warmth, that moment just before the oblivion of sleep when her body felt truly at peace, could finally come. The darkness could hold the room, but she didn't need to see, only to slip away. Only sometimes were there tears needing to be released before she could sink away. Even then, that great warmth was a relief. And in bed she could dream, and her dreams these days were full of arms, her own arms around others' bodies. Blessed arms of loved ones, strangers, men she'd watched on television that day or old friends she'd not seen in years, their arms around her. And the ache, the one kept at bay all day with blankets, would seem to fade in each dreamt embrace. Finally, touch. She longed for these dreams, though she knew she shouldn't. They never lasted. And mornings, waking from unreal companions, only felt lonelier. In her dreams, the brightness of other people's smiles felt like balm. But the imprint they left upon her retinas when she opened her eyes only made the sight of her dim, empty room more painful. July 2021, England. Lockdown was lifted. Lifted again, rather. But this time felt a little more certain, though Liam hedged certainty with caution these days. Everyone did. Caution over whether Saoirse's visa would finally be granted in time. Caution over whether the tickets he'd booked, the second set, these ones, would really get him home, or whether these, like the last ones, would become useless as Australia snapped shut its borders again. Or perhaps a new strain might pop up the next town over from him, and he'd be forced back into waiting. Waiting. A part of him was empty, the part that kept reminding him his 24th birthday was only 2 months away. And he was still in Leeds. Still not home. Still waiting on restrictions to end. A woman, not wearing a mask, it wasn't Laura anymore, but Liam still wore his, blew out her cheeks at him as they waited at a bus stop together. "Warm one, isn't it?" she observed, unprompted. Liam nodded without conviction as another cloud passed over the sun. 25 degrees Celsius, he remembered. He was pretty sure that had been today's forecast. Warm for July in Leeds, certainly. He ran a hand over his pale arm.
You're listening to Tales from the Pandemic, proudly brought to you by your library and your community radio station.
December 2021, Australia. Emma's stomach gurgled a little, and she sculled more water. She was still getting used to freedom. The end of October had seen the end of Melbourne's sixth lockdown, and suddenly she was wearing real shoes again almost every day. Suddenly her diary had events scheduled. Suddenly the shops were just the shops, and a purchase of a single chocolate bar was not an unessential journey, but a delight. And now this. Her friend's family had always thrown the best parties, and they had been sorely missed over the lockdowns. She adjusted the hem of the dress she'd bought online 2 months ago and headed down the dark driveway toward the revelry and party lights, water bottle clutched in her hands. She never left the house without it these days, that water bottle. Her mouth was so unused to conversation that sometimes it would dry up, and she'd quietly nod as her companions spoke on, unscrewing the lid as subtly as she could, trying not to gag before she could bring the water to her mouth. Her therapist said it was quite normal, these bursts of dryness. Still irritating. She reached the veranda and the first cluster of people, silhouetted against the bright house lights. She gave the first cluster of hugs, and a flurry of, "Hello, it's been so long." Her first party since lockdown. Since many lockdowns. The cluster told her they liked her dress. She liked it too, and she liked this house, and she liked this music. She was so ready for this kind of company again. Her knuckles were white around the neck of her bottle. She found herself whisked inside and around, talking to so many familiar faces. The music made it difficult to hear and to concentrate, but it was good music. It always was at these parties. It was dance music, and soon she was dancing. Her ribs seemed to stretch out in joy as she remembered what it was to move and shake with others, chest and arms and neck reaching up and out and creaking back to life. It was only a little, at first. When she stared up at the strings of fairy lights on the ceiling above for just a moment too long, and tiny spots in front of her eyes made her shake her head to clear the feeling they left her with. But it grew, the dizziness, into more than a little. Fellow dancers were shouting lyrics around her, everyone jumping in time, her own feet bouncing heavily as she mouthed the words of the song. The woman in front of her wore a dress with sequins that shifted, glittering, as she jumped and danced. There was a holler, and a man swung his phone around the crowd, and the flash caught Emma right in the eye as the people beside her sung louder and waved their arms to the camera. Emma's heart jumped as someone's hand barely missed her face, their ring glinting an inch away from her as it soared past. Too dizzy. Too much. The door gave way before her as she pushed outside, away from the house. It closed heavily behind her. The night outdoors beckoned with a new quietness as she half ran, half stumbled into the empty garden, and the wall she left behind muffled out the dancing and the shouting. Emma let her heart pound. Slowly, it sank down to the rhythm of the shadowy garden, soft and steady. She rubbed her eyes, rubbing away the imprint of bright lights on her retinas. So still out here. Still and quiet. This is what she had grown used to. She let her forehead rest in her palms. Behind her, she heard the door open and shut. A torch beam illuminated the grass around her, and she turned to see someone walking over, torchlight bobbing with them. Emma? She felt her mouth tighten. She pursed her lips and nodded, raising a hand. It was Alfie, the brother of the friend whose party this was. Emma squinted a little as he came near, and he quickly directed the torch beam away, the glare softening to a gentle light. "Heading out for some fresh air?" Alfie said. Emma nodded, smiling. Alfie held something out to her. It reflected the torchlight, and her smile broadened as she took her water bottle from him, gratefully gulping down the cool water and feeling it loosen her throat. "You left it in the kitchen, but no one bothered with it. Most are too drunk to get the lid off anyway," Alfie reassured her. Emma laughed and sat down on the grass. Alfie sat beside her. The torch lay between them, lighting up the ground around them and the edges of each other's faces as they talked and laughed. The party continued on inside and barely caught their attention as it gently spilled out onto the lawn around them.
You're listening to Tales from the Pandemic, proudly brought to you by your library and your community radio station.
December 2021. The plane. So close. The ticket was his third. The first two had gone unused. The flights had never taken off. But this one had got Liam into the seat he now sat in, had been sat in for hours, left leg bouncing a little under his pull-out tray. He adjusted his mask on his face. He'd done 3 tests, a PCR and 2 RATs, before the flight took off. And they'd all confirmed it. He could finally use that ticket. The engine noise shifted, became a little higher pitched, a little whinier. So close now. He'd left Saoirse at Heathrow Airport with a promise to come pick her up when her own plane landed in Melbourne 3 months from now. She had a few more things to finish up before she could leave England. But Liam couldn't wait. It had been grey, so grey outside that tiny window when he'd left England over 20 hours ago. For the last few hours, it had been blue like he'd forgotten sky could really be. And now it was grey again, as the bitumen runway rushed past beneath the plane, the blue still up above but hidden for a moment as the great wheels pulled to a stop. But he knew it was there, could see it reflected in the wing. The airport and his bags and finding the right way out, all of it was now, it was here. He had landed. He was home. The chatter of Australian voices around him felt like tasting a childhood recipe. And there was his cousin, by the baggage carousel. Her eyes were watering above her mask as he stepped in for a hug. Her arms around him were 3 years older than he remembered them, and his own eyes leaked into her hair. She had a metal bottle clutched in one hand. He could feel it digging into his back as she gripped him tight, but he didn't mind in the least. They collected his luggage, Emma insisting on carrying the heaviest suitcase, and Liam letting her believe the one she held was indeed the heaviest. "The car's not far off," Emma said, retrieving her keys from her pocket. And traffic didn't look too bad on the way up. By the way, bit late, but happy birthday. They walked through the airport together, and Emma, a few steps ahead, removed her mask as she left the building, stepping out into the car park. The frame of the automatic doors passed above Liam's head, and beyond them the full Australian sun beamed strong and hard over his upturned face. He felt it on his arms, felt his thick English clothes already making him prickle with sweat, his white hand on the handle of his suitcase shining under the light. Emma was waiting three steps ahead, her own hand shielding her eyes. "Perfect day for it," she said, gesturing. "It's been a bit cold and cloudy. The sun faded a bit there the last week or so. But it's come back for you." Liam chuckled. He looked around, at the Australian license plates, the eucalyptus trees a few hundred metres away. He raised his hand to look at it, the sunlight bright behind it. His fingers brushed his forehead, already warm to the touch. How could a glare like this ever fade? Isolation by Laura Jane.
Tales from the Pandemic, proudly brought to you by your library and your community radio station.